Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Die Chancen stehen wieder gut, Millionär zu werden. Jetzt Countdown zum Glück bei den Bayern-Millionen.
Da gibt's 2x1 Million Euro mit der Chance 1 zu 250.000 und viele weitere Gewinne. Die Bayern-Millionen in jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Nur solange der Vorrat reicht.
Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18, Chance auf 1 Million Euro, 1 zu 250.000. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen, Hilfe unter bjuek.de.
When I first started working at the Lost Airline Luggage Warehouse, I thought it would be the kind of job you could do on autopilot. You know, sorting through suitcases, matching tags, and occasionally finding the weird stuff people left behind. Like that one time someone packed an entire taxidermied raccoon. But after a few months, the novelty wore off, and it became just rows and rows of unclaimed baggage waiting for someone who was never going to show up. The place is massive, like a graveyard for forgotten lives. We hold onto bags for 90 days. If no one claims them, the contents are auctioned off, and the cycle starts over. My supervisor, Dale, once joked that every suitcase holds a secret, but most of the time, it's just dirty laundry and chargers for phones no one uses anymore. But then I noticed something strange. A section of the warehouse I hadn't paid much attention to before. It was tucked in the back, past the rows of unclaimed baggage. The area was marked with a faded sign that just said, "Claimed." At first, I didn't think much of it. I figured they were bags people had come to collect. But the weird thing was, they were all still there. Perfectly stacked, perfectly clean. No dust, no tags, no signs of wear. And they didn't show up on the logs. One night during inventory, I asked Dale about it. "What's the deal with the claimed bags?" I said, trying to sound casual. He didn't even look up from his clipboard. "Some things are better left alone," he muttered, then changed the subject to tomorrow's auction prep. That answer should have been enough for me to let it go, but the bags stuck in my head. Something about how pristine they looked, like they didn't belong there, or maybe belonged too much, like they'd always been there. The thing about working late in a place like this is that your mind starts to play tricks on you. The warehouse is dead quiet after hours, except for the hum of the overhead lights and the occasional creak of the metal shelves. It's the kind of silence that makes you jump at your own shadow. One night, I was wrapping up some inventory when I heard it. Shuffling. Something was moving in the far corner of the warehouse. My first thought was a stray animal, maybe a raccoon that snuck in somehow, or, knowing Dale, it could have been some dumb prank to spook the new guy. I grabbed a flashlight and headed toward the sound. The shuffling stopped as soon as I got close to the claim section. There was nothing there, just the same neat rows of pristine bags, untouched. But when I looked closer, one of the bags was out of place. It had been moved to a different aisle. I was sure of it. I called out, "Dale, you messing with me?" No answer. I stood there for a while, listening, but all I heard was the hum of the lights and my own heartbeat. Finally, I chalked it up to me being tired and went back to my work. The next day, I couldn't stop thinking about that bag. It didn't make sense. No one else had been in the warehouse that night, and the logs didn't show anything unusual. Curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to take a closer look. I picked a bag at random, a sleek black duffel with no tags or identifying marks. My hands were shaking as I unzipped it, half expecting to find something gruesome, like those urban legends about body parts in lost luggage. Instead, I found my childhood. The first thing I pulled out was a tattered copy of The Hobbit, the exact same edition my dad used to read me when I was little. The corners were bent in the same way, like someone had dog-eared the pages. Then there was a faded red jacket, my mom's jacket. I hadn't seen it in years, but I recognized the frayed cuffs and the small ink stain on the pocket. And then I saw the photo. It was a picture of me as a teenager, standing in front of what looked like a campfire. But the people around me, I didn't know any of them. They were smiling, leaning in like we were all best friends, but I couldn't place a single face. What really got me, though, was the photo itself. It wasn't just old. It looked wrong. The edges were warped, like the image had been stretched too far, and the sky in the background was a sickly shade of green. I zipped the bag up and shoved it back on the shelf, my heart pounding. Maybe it was some kind of elaborate joke. Maybe someone had found my stuff online or dug through records to mess with me. But deep down, I knew better. I should have let it go. I should have zipped that bag up and walked away for good. But when you see pieces of your own life staring back at you, things you can't explain, you can't just ignore it. At least, I couldn't. The next night, I stayed late again. I told myself I was finishing inventory, but really, I couldn't stop thinking about that bag. I needed to see if what I found was still inside. Maybe I'd imagined it. Maybe someone was screwing with me. But when I opened it, the contents had changed. It wasn't the book or jacket anymore. This time, there was a watch. My watch. The one I'd lost 3 years ago on a camping trip. Next to it was a folded up piece of paper, and when I opened it, I nearly dropped it. It was a note written in my handwriting. "You're almost there. Keep looking." But I didn't remember writing it. And then there was the toy plane. It was identical to one I used to have as a kid, right down to the chipped wing and the faded blue paint. It couldn't have been coincidence. It just couldn't. I zipped the bag back up, my hands shaking, and shoved it back on the shelf. For the rest of the night, I tried to act normal, but my head was spinning. What the hell was happening? Who could have put those things in there? And why? The next day, things got weirder. Dale was jumpy, more than usual. He barely looked at me when I clocked in. And at one point, I caught him on the phone. He was pacing near the break room, muttering under his breath. But I swear, I heard him say, "Another one's getting close." When he noticed me, he hung up fast and walked off, pretending like nothing had happened. Other people started noticing things too. A couple of the guys joked about hearing whispers when they passed the claim section. One of them, Chris, said it sounded like someone was calling his name, but he laughed it off. "This place is creepy as hell at night, man," he said, shaking his head. "I'm not going near that corner again." And then the dream started. The first one wasn't bad, just strange. I was sitting at a dinner table with a family that felt familiar, like I should have known them, but I didn't. They were laughing, talking, passing dishes around. It was warm, comfortable. But when I woke up, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. I don't have a family like that. I never have. The next dream was worse. I was standing in a church, wearing a tuxedo, holding someone's hand. A bride. I couldn't see her face, but I knew I was supposed to know her. My heart was racing, not from fear, but from something else, like longing or regret. When I woke up, I felt this crushing emptiness, like I'd lost something I never even had. Every night, it was something new. A birthday I'd never been to, a road trip I never took, a life that didn't belong to me, but somehow felt like it did. It was like the bag wasn't just holding objects. It was holding memories, pieces of a life that I was starting to think might have been mine, or could have been mine. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop going back. It was around midnight when I was finally alone, and I decided to investigate anything that could tell me what was going on. I only had enough access in the computers to check data on the main luggage we sorted. Dale was a stand-up guy, but not the smartest when it came to technology, so getting into his account was easy. His password was on a sticky note under the monitor. The claim section wasn't in any of the official documentation. It was like it didn't exist. The first thing I noticed was how sparse the records were. There were no flight numbers, no name of passengers, no airports of origin, just dates and vague location tags. But then I scrolled further back, and my stomach dropped. The logs listed names. Names of people, former employees, frequent travelers, even a couple of warehouse delivery drivers. Each name was flagged as unaccounted for, missing. The timestamps in the logs didn't make sense either. They showed dates, weeks, sometimes months, after these people had supposedly vanished, like the system was still tracking them, even though they were gone. I didn't sleep that night. Every sound in my apartment made me jump, and every shadow felt like it was creeping closer. By the next morning, I knew I couldn't keep this to myself. I cornered Dale during lunch, catching him off guard as he stood by the vending machines. "Dale, what's going on with the claimed bags?" I asked, keeping my voice low. His expression shifted instantly. It wasn't just fear. It was resignation, like he'd been waiting for this. "You've been poking around too much," he muttered, glancing nervously toward the security cameras. "Why are their names tied to the bags? People who went missing? What the hell is this place?" I demanded. Dale sighed, his shoulders slumping. "You weren't supposed to dig this deep. Look, those bags, they're not normal. They don't belong to any airline, any traveler. They belong to people who've been taken." "Taken? By who?" "Not who. What?" he said, his voice dropping to a whisper. "Those bags are like anchors. They're tied to something else, somewhere else. When you open one, you're inviting it in. It starts pulling pieces of you, rewriting things. The more you interact, the harder it is to stay here. Eventually, you just go." I stared at him, trying to process what he was saying. It sounded insane. But every strange thing I'd seen in that warehouse suddenly felt like a puzzle snapping into place. "Why didn't you warn me?" I asked, my voice shaking. "I tried," he said, "but curiosity always wins. It's why they keep sending people like us to work here. People who need the job but won't be missed if something happens. Now, you're in too deep. Whatever's in those bags, it's noticed you." That night, when I walked into the warehouse for my shift, the first thing I saw was a new bag in the claim section. It wasn't there before. It was smaller than the others, almost like a carry-on. My name was printed on the tag. I froze, my stomach twisting into knots. The bag was locked, but as I stood there, I heard it. A faint tapping from inside, like someone was knocking to get out. I knew I was in over my head, but by this point, the bag with my name on it was all I could think about. It wasn't just curiosity anymore. It felt like a compulsion, a pull I couldn't ignore. That night, I waited until the warehouse was empty and the cameras were angled away. My hands were shaking when I broke it open. Inside, there was no clothing or trinkets, no personal items, just a shimmering, mirror-like surface. It was unnatural, almost liquid, but solid at the same time. I leaned closer, and my reflection stared back at me. Except, it wasn't quite right. My face looked older, tired. The scar on my chin from middle school wasn't there. Before I could process it, the surface rippled, and I felt myself being pulled forward. I tried to step back, but my legs wouldn't move. The world around me blurred. And suddenly, I was somewhere else. The warehouse was still there, but it wasn't the same. The lights flickered erratically, casting long, distorted shadows. The air was thick, suffocating, and everything was silent. Not the kind of silence where you could hear your own breathing, but a void, like sound didn't exist. The aisles stretched endlessly in every direction, and every bag in the claim section was there, stacked high and moving ever so slightly on their own. Then, I saw him. Another me. He stepped out from one of the aisles, and I almost screamed. He looked just like me, but older, maybe by 10-20 years. His eyes were sunken, his skin pale and gaunt. He moved like every step was painful, but there was something worse than his appearance. It was the look on his face. Desperation. "You shouldn't have opened it," he said, his voice hoarse but clear. "You need to leave. Now." "What is this? Who are you?" I demanded, though my voice cracked halfway through. "I'm you," he said, his voice tinged with something close to regret. "Oh, I was. And if you don't leave, you'll become me." I didn't understand. How could I? But he kept talking, fast and frantic, like he was running out of time. "The bags aren't just lost luggage. They're markers. If you open yours, you're bound to this place, this other version of the warehouse. You'll lose everything. Your life, your memories. You'll become a part of it." I tried to speak, but then I saw them. Shadowy figures emerging from the aisles, moving slowly but deliberately. Their forms were vague, like smoke trying to take shape, but I could see the hints of faces, some anguished, some expressionless. They were the ones who had opened their bags, victims trapped here forever. "They'll take you if you stay," the other me said, his voice trembling. "Please, don't let them take you." I could barely breathe. The figures were getting closer, the void-like silence pressing down on me. The other me reached into his own bag, his version of my bag, and pulled out the mirror-like surface. "This is your way out," he said. "Use it. Don't look back." I hesitated, my mind racing, but then I saw the figures reach for him, his face twisted in panic as he shoved the mirror toward me. "Go!" he screamed. I grabbed it and felt the pull again, the same sensation as before, but reversed. The distorted warehouse blurred around me, and suddenly, I was back in the real one, sprawled on the cold concrete floor next to the bag. It was zipped shut, like I'd never touched it. The silence was gone, replaced by the hum of the fluorescent lights, but my hands wouldn't stop shaking. I stared at the bag, half expecting it to move, but it didn't. I scrambled to my feet and ran, leaving everything behind. When I went back the day after opening my bag, something felt off. I walked into the break room and my usual coffee mug, this old chipped ceramic one with my initials, wasn't on the counter. Instead, there was a sleek, brand new travel mug I'd never seen before. Someone probably just moved it, I thought. But then I opened my locker. The photos of my niece and nephew that I taped inside, gone. My spare hoodie, gone. In their place were things I didn't recognize. A set of car keys I didn't own, a pair of sunglasses I'd never seen before. They weren't just random items. They felt like placeholders, substitutes for my own life. When I asked Dale about it, he gave me this blank look, like he didn't even know who I was. "You new here or something?" he asked, scratching his head. The guy who trained me, who signed off my first paycheck, was now acting like I was a stranger. I thought maybe he was screwing with me. But the way he looked at me, confused, almost scared, it didn't feel like a joke. The worst part was the claim section. My bag wasn't there anymore. I combed through every aisle, every shelf, but it was gone. Instead, there were new bags, ones I didn't recognize. And I swear, some of them were moving ever so slightly, like they were breathing. I couldn't stay there. The warehouse had changed, or maybe I had. Either way, I left. I didn't even bother clocking out. I just got in my car and drove, telling myself I'd never go back. For a day or two, I thought I was in the clear. I stayed in bed, ignored my phone, and tried to convince myself that everything was fine. But then the bag started showing up. The first time, it was in my car. I unlocked it to drive to the grocery store, and there it was, sitting on the passenger seat like it had always been there. It wasn't the same bag I'd opened in the warehouse, but it was unmistakably one of those bags, pristine, untagged, and humming faintly with that same low static sound. I left my car in the lot and walked home. Then one appeared outside my apartment door. Same type, same unnerving hum. I didn't touch it. I stepped over it, slamming my door, and shoved a chair under the handle. When I finally worked up the nerve to peek through the peephole a few hours later, it was gone. But they kept coming. On my walk to the park, I saw one sitting on a bench, perfectly placed, as if waiting for me. Another was on the side of the road, half hidden in the weeds, but I knew it was meant for me. They're not just bags anymore. They're markers, warnings, reminders. And I can feel them closing in. I thought quitting would end it. I thought walking away from that damn warehouse would mean I could finally sleep, that I could leave all this behind. I was so wrong. But the bags, those claimed bags, they don't leave you alone. After I left, I moved back in with my parents for a while. The thought of being alone in an apartment made my skin crawl. Even now, I keep my blinds drawn and double-check the locks on every door, every window. Not that it helps. The paranoia is always there, like something just out of sight, waiting. The bags don't stop, or at least the feeling of them doesn't. Sometimes when the house is quiet and I'm trying to fall asleep, I hear faint tapping. It's soft, rhythmic, like someone drumming their fingers on the floor. It always comes from places where something could hide. A closet, under the bed, even the trunk of my car once. I'll sit up, heart pounding, and tell myself it's nothing. But I don't go looking. Not anymore. Every now and then, I dream about the warehouse. I see the rows of bags stretching into infinity, a maze I can't escape from. Sometimes I hear Dale's voice echoing through the aisles, warning me to stay away. Other times, I see myself. Not me as I am now, but a different version of me. One who stayed, one who opened all the bags, one who never left. And he just smiles, like he knows something I don't. I've tried to piece it all together to make sense of it, but there's no explanation that satisfies. The claim section wasn't just unclaimed luggage. It was something else. A doorway, maybe? A trap? Or maybe just the cruel joke the universe decided to play on me? I don't want anyone else to go through what I did. If you ever lose your luggage, pray it stays lost. Because if you see your name on a bag that isn't yours, don't open it. Not even once.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.